You're listening to the Chicago Football Fantasy Podcast, presented by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. Drive what Dan Hampton drives. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com today.
Welcome to the Chicago Football Fantasy Podcast, run by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. I'm your host, John Solly. I'm the senior digital editor here at ChicagoFootball.com. You can follow me on Twitter at JSolly. Joining me today is Arthur Arkish. You can follow him on Twitter at Arthur Arkish. Arthur, how you doing?
I am doing well. I'm vertical, so that's a lot better than a lot of the guys we'll talk about in this podcast.
Same here. What the hell was this week in fantasy football? We're past it. We're taping this on Tuesday morning. I can't figure out what the heck this week was. How about you?
Yeah, it was, rotten luck, obviously, the NFL. The calendar's getting ready to turn to December, and these injuries are bound to happen, but it sure did seem like a lot of big names, and I'm sure for many fantasy owners, multiple names in the same games going down, and not a lot of contingency plans at this point of the season, so I guess this is where the strategy comes in, and guys are really going to earn their keep.
It was a total injury minefield. We'll run through some of them right here. Devonta Freeman left with a concussion that killed basically every daily fantasy squad I put out there. I was all in on Devonta Freeman against the Colts, and within the first quarter, my week was done. Justin Forsett with a broken forearm. Aaron Donald really just did a number on him. Joe Flacco with a season-ending knee injury. Marshawn Lynch missed with a sports hernia, maybe out for a while. Trekendrick West missed with a hamstring. Another guy I was all in and recommended on my DFS picks. And you saw Kansas City rack up all of those rushing yards, and they could have been all Trekendrick West yards, but he left with a hamstring. Matt Forte was still out, maybe back Thursday. We'll talk about that in a bit. And Zach Ertz left with a concussion. So, Arthur, I'm a little out of breath just running through all the injuries from this past week.
Yeah, it was rough. It was certainly rough. And, I was going to say, fortunately, a guy like Devonta Freeman at least had a monster half a first quarter before he went down. So got to hand
all 40 of those yards were really the difference.
Yeah, it was tough. But there were a couple guys who did okay in pinch hitting roles. And it's certainly not an ideal world. But there are a couple of the guys I know are going to be popular waiver wire targets this week.
Yeah, we'll start with one, and a guy who was kind of a late add for a lot of folks probably this week, Thomas Rawls, who just went nuts for the Seahawks with Marshawn Lynch out. And with Lynch maybe out for at least a few weeks, Thomas Rawls has got to be the top waiver wire pickup this week, doesn't he, if he's available?
Yeah, that's the key there at the end, if he's available. I think, unfortunately, a lot of people, not unfortunate for the guys who were able to have the foresight and get him, but you'll have to take a look out there. I don't have any doubt he's going to be the top pickup in a run-first offense and has frankly outperformed Marshawn Lynch this year, which I never thought I would say. There's apparently a reason the Seattle front office was cool with letting go of guys like Christian Michael and Robert Turbin. They clearly have the future in Thomas Rawls if he can keep his nose clean.
Yeah, they knew what they had with the Central Michigan running back, a little action for you with Thomas Rawls, and I agree, he's easily the top waiver wire pickup if he's available behind that Seattle offensive line. How about another guy we've kind of been talking about, and he might be available, might not, but Jameis Winston throwing 5 touchdown passes this past week against Philadelphia. How about him?
He has he's not playing like a rookie right now. He's got the Bucs at 500, and I think what's most important is that he's protecting the football. I had the stat, and now I don't have it in front of me. He has really protected the football well over the past 5 or 6 weeks. That's the key. Of course, any owner will take a 5-touchdown game any day of the week. You can't expect him to repeat that, but what's excited about Jameis Winston is that his weapons are just coming back. Vincent Jackson finally returned from the knee. Austin Seferian Jenkins could soon get back, too. So while you won't expect those 5 touchdown outings, obviously, I don't think it's unreasonable to expect Winston to keep being a steady and potentially explosive fantasy contributor.
Boys, Farian Jenkins seems to be one of those 100% guys, doesn't he?
Yeah, the dreaded 100% guys. That's yeah. Right. He's you know, his career first year plus has gotten off to a rough start, but you're still tantalized by that basketball body and his receiving skills if he ever can stay on the field.
We'll move on to another potential waiver wire pickup. Devonta Freeman is in the concussion protocol, and we're taping this Tuesday morning. We still don't know what his status is going to be. So Tevin Coleman, definitely worth an add.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, he took the lion's share of the workload after after Freeman went down, and obviously with these concussions, if you're not an independent evaluator in the St. Louis-Houston game, you're taking pretty close care, pretty close watch of what's going on here, obviously. So I don't mean to joke. Obviously, concussions are a serious issue, and unfortunate to see it happen to a real rising star in Freeman, but we've seen kids come back in 2 days from these, and we've seen, you know, we've seen it take two months, 2 years at some time. So until we have more clarity, Tevin Coleman's the ad. It's unfortunate he put a ball on the ground and didn't do a lot with his first big opportunity.
Yeah, he was kind of disappointing when he came in, and Atlanta has really just fallen off, haven't they?
Yeah, no doubt about it. They are in a free fall, and certainly some of the excitement that was going on there with Dan Quinn and the start he got them off to has faded. They got to get it turned around quickly if they're still thinking playoffs.
All right, let's look in Kansas City. Trekendrick West, the guy who I was all over this past week, gave him, I think, two nicknames in the picks column. I preferred Land Shark, but you know what? It's almost worthless now because he may be out for a bit with a hamstring. Spencer Ware came in with 96 yards on 11 carries and a pair of touchdowns. Granted, that was against San Diego, who, you know, if we're using basketball terms, they can't defend a chair. they've been so bad against the run. But is Spencer Ware worth an add if he's going to be the guy in Kansas City?
Well, look, if you're depending on Landsharks, certainly. We're just at the point of this season, obviously, where if you've got free agent budget left or if you've got a decent waiver order, of course you're going after these guys. The trade deadline is passed. These are your chances. So I can tell you that Andy Reid was absolutely thrilled, was smitten with Spencer Ware's performance. He has been showing it in practice, finally got a chance. He can run with power. He's got that he's got that lean that you look for, that forward lean, and they acted as if they weren't terribly surprised that he exceeded 100 scrimmage yards, and depending on West's injury, he's obviously going to have a chance to do it in another run-first offense.
Let's look at Miami with a guy that I really liked out of Boise State, and I was kind of hoping the Bears would take him, but I've been rather thrilled with Hall of Famer Jeremy Langford. Jay Ajayi, he carried four times for 13 yards and caught a couple of passes against the Cowboys, so it wasn't a whole lot, but he's seen increased snap counts, increased playing time. I kind of like Ajayi as a handcuff to Lamar Miller, don't you?
As a handcuff, yes. I think Lamar Miller is still the guy in that offense, and you kind of wonder why they got away with him so quickly Sunday. At least I wonder that. But hard not to be impressed with what Ajayi has done so far. I think it's been three games now have been really impressive. He's putting up solid numbers, but I do believe they're committed to Miller. So if you're a Miller owner or if you're just desperate for some depth on your bench, he's a guy who's been banged up, that is, over his career in Miller, and Ajayi would certainly be a guy you could go out and grab.
All right, last guy before we get into our Bears-Packers preview, we're going to start with a Packer here, Eddie Lacy. He was a limited participant in Monday's practice report, but he came through with 100 yards and 22 carries. I didn't jump aboard the Eddie Lacy death train last week, but Eddie Lacy might be back. Mike McCarthy's really been talking him up, hasn't he?
Yeah, you know, I'm pretty sure Lacy wasn't too thrilled with being benched in favor of James Starks. He handled it well, didn't say anything publicly, but it certainly looked like he was running with a little bit more authority out there on Sunday in the Packers' biggest win of the season against a pretty good defense. I know the Vikings have had their issues against the run, but Lacy, 22 carries, 100 yards, had that power back. And there's no doubt that while McCarthy likes to spread the carries around, that offense functions at its best when it's very balanced. There's this misnomer that they just want Rodgers back. They're slinging it 50 times. Not the case at all. And it looks like the offense has its mojo back a little bit, and Lacy's the guy that's going to drive that truck. And absolutely, if he's out there on the waiver wire, go grab him. But I know both of us were preaching, you know, patience even beyond probably a realistic level over these past several podcasts. So I'm guessing he may not be out there for our listeners.
All right, that rolls us into our Bears-Packers fantasy preview. They play Thanksgiving night, so after you're done with your turkey, you can sit down and watch a great rivalry game. Arthur, can Jay Cutler find any success in Lambeau Field?
You know, he's going to have to. The defense is coming off, the Packers defense, that is coming off one of their better performances. The pass rush woke up after three games without a sack. And this Bears offense, I mean, I guess that question is, it can't really be answered until we know who Cutler's going to have at his disposal, because, you know, all due respect to Josh Bellamy and Marquise Wilson and even Zach Miller, he needs his guys back. I mean, this offense is completely different without Alshon Jeffrey. Jeremy Langford finally ran into a bit of a wall there Sunday. It's clear that getting Matt Forte back will at least expand the options and bring more flexibility to this offense. So I'm at this point, even as great as Cutler's been this year, and I was in believe it when I see it mode with regard to his total career arc, I feel the same way about the Packers. I'd really like to see him have a bunch of success once before I'm anxious to lean on him in a fantasy realm.
Yeah, I'm with you. If Jay Cutler's out there throwing to Cameron Meredith, I'm not starting him in fantasy. And again, we are taping this Tuesday morning, so we're not entirely sure. And we may not be sure until 90 minutes before kickoff if you're going to see Matt Forte or Alshon Jeffery. We know that John Fox is not going to give away any injury information leading up to this game, especially one that is so crucial if we're going to talk.
God forbid.
Yeah. I'm going to whisper, Bears playoffs. If we're going to talk about that, then he's not definitely not going to give away that information. So if I own Jay Cutler, I'm staying away from him, given the history in Lambeau, given that the Packers' defense is still pretty nasty, and we don't know exactly who he's going to be throwing to. You know, I'm probably staying away from all Bears in this situation then. How about you?
There's no
certainty.
Right. Yeah. There's certainly not any guarantees, but obviously if you have a guy like Alshon Jeffery that you spent a second or third round pick on, I think you're probably going to throw him out there. You're going to do it not feeling great about it, especially his decoy role 2 weeks ago in St. Louis and then inactive last week. I guess I feel the same way if you have Matt Forte. Yes, the Packers shut down Adrian Peterson last week, but they haven't done it consistently, their run defense, that is, this season. So you're not going to feel great about him, but you're going to feel a lot better about some of the Packers options. Guys like, you know, James Jones is back in the circle of trust, had a 100-yard game. remember what he did to the Bears at Soldier Field to begin the season, right off the street, two touchdowns, should have been three. So guys like James Jones and Davante Adams still strictly off his opportunities. He really has not taken advantage just yet, but Rodgers has to find somewhere to go with the ball, and then certainly Eddie Lacy, who I know we already talked about. The Bears' run defense was probably the biggest disappointment in that game Sunday in Denver, and their inability to stop backs from getting outside. That's something Lacy likes to do.
Yeah, I want to ask you about Davante Adams. I want to go back all the way to week one. Davante Adams, specifically when we were talking DFS, he was the must play. You had to play Davante Adams. He was too cheap. He was going to get all these targets, and he had 4 for 59, and that's really been one of his best games of the year. He's been hurt. Is Davante Adams, you mentioned the circle of trust, is he also back in the circle of trust with Aaron Rodgers, do you think?
He's getting there. I think whereas James Jones has a much longer rapport, obviously, with Aaron Rodgers, the fact is Davante Adams is in year two and he's missed most of his sophomore season, so he's probably still developing that, even though Rodgers did call him the offseason MVP and everyone got so excited after Jordy Nelson went down. But this is a tough offense to learn and master. And again, this is just a kid. It was a big leap from Fresno State, and injuries have really hampered him. So whether it's circle of trust or circle of dependency, if you will, Rodgers doesn't have a ton of options. There's no productive tight end there. There's really no number three. Ty Montgomery's hurt. They don't trust Jeff Janis. So just off opportunity, you're going to have to continue to hope that Davante Adams comes around. And I think he's still playing hurt. That's pretty clear. But again, we're at the point of the season where you're going to have to lean on some of these guys, I would think, that you put big investments in. And I think Adams falls under that category.
Yeah, and I'm looking at Green Bay's offense here. Randall Cobb, he had two catches for 24 yards, and he did get in the end zone against the Vikings. But I think in this game, in terms of fantasy plays, I trust Aaron Rodgers. That might be it as far as guys I feel really certain about for Thursday.
Yeah, Randall Cobb's going to get some Bryce Callahan, the undrafted Rice rookie for the Bears, who seems like a really good kid, but I don't know if he's ready for that challenge. So you don't feel great about Cobb. I think aside from Aaron Rodgers, no one has been hurt more by the loss of Jordy Nelson. It's pretty clear Cobb can be an elite number two wide receiver in this league. He's obviously not a number one. So, and it's the Thursday factor. And obviously the offenses tend to be a little slower, a a little stumbly in those games, if you will. So maybe not going to feel great about these options. Like I said, I think Lacy is definitely back in good graces and should definitely be out there. But yeah, this offense continues to be a bit of a mystery.
All right, that's it for our Thursday Bears-Packers.
And excuse me, of course, Aaron Rodgers, but I know that goes without saying. We know his history against the Bears.
So. Yeah, I think he definitely is in line for a big game. But that'll do it for our Thursday Bears-Packers fantasy preview. Let's get you ready for Sunday with some of our top plays. A top guy, a mid-range guy, and a sleeper at quarterback, running back, wide receiver, and tight end. We will start at quarterback. Arthur, who do you got as your top guy, your mid-range guy, and your sleeper?
Yeah, I felt the need to interrupt you just now, but I guess I didn't have to because I have Aaron Rodgers as my top play on Thanksgiving against the Bears. Again, he has just absolutely shredded Chicago defenses, whether it's Lovie Smith, Mel Tucker, or Vic Fangio in week one. Remember what he did with three touchdowns and almost he didn't get hit that game. So I think you're definitely rolling with him. A mid-range guy, how about Brian Hoyer? The New Orleans Saints defense has gotten to the point now where you are just targeting it with all the quarterback skill position players, everyone you can. Brian Hoyer is going to go again with TJ Yates now out, and he's got that great thing going, obviously, at Hopkins. So I think you can depend on some pretty consistent production from him. And then my sleeper is Matt Stafford, as if I haven't been burned enough times by Matt Stafford.
Wow, jumping on board with that again. Well,
it's mostly because I look around the league and I actually don't – it's odd. I don't see a lot of quarterback plays I love this week, A, and B, it looked like that Eagles defense quit on Chip Kelly last week. So on a quick turnaround, I'm not stunned if Stafford finds a way to get going. He's been protecting the football a little bit better during their winning streak.
A bit of an offshoot. Did you see the press conference, post-game press conference for Philadelphia, or did you hear about it?
I didn't, actually.
The reporters there just savaged him. It was basically like, I think one reporter said, I think I could do 4-6, Chip. I mean, everyone has quit on Chip Kelly, I think, in Philadelphia.
Imagine that, the Philly media smelling blood and, circling.
All right, my top quarterback of the week is actually Carson Palmer going to San Francisco. I really like the matchup. I think Arizona probably pretty upset over the loss. Arizona probably pretty upset over that game. Ben Roethlisberger is my mid-range guy. I know it's at Seattle. I don't believe in that Seattle defense anymore. I think we can probably say rest in peace to the Legion of Boom at this point. I like Roethlisberger as a real contrarian play in DFS. Sleeper, I kind of like Blake Bortles at home against San Diego. San Diego looked like they may be quitting too, and Blake Bortles has actually been pretty good for most of the year. So I like Bortles as a sleeper type pick. Let's look at running back, top guy, mid-range guy, and sleeper.
Yeah, I'm sticking in the AFC North with Adrian Peterson. Falcons run defense can definitely be run on, and Peterson didn't do enough of it last week. Only 13 carries, got shut down by the Packers, and called out his teammates, his coaches, everyone a little bit afterwards. So this could be the type of game where Peterson explodes to get the Vikings back on the good side of things after a big setback Sunday. Middle range guy, I'll go back to that Jaguars-Chargers matchup, and TJ Yeldon. You mentioned that Chargers defense kind of looks like it also may have packed it in. I just don't know if they have the horses out there to do anything at this point. And Yeldon's been okay. He's coming off a quiet performance Thursday night, but he's had extra rest. He's been a little bit banged up, and he could be due for a nice bounce back for that rookie. And then I got Ahmad Bradshaw as a sleeper. I think that this is a trend at this point. In 15 games at the Colts, he's got 9 touchdowns. He is their best receiving back. He is a great red zone weapon, and I hate to say it because I love Frank Gore. He's one of my favorite players to watch, but Ahmad Bradshaw, when he's on the field, I believe can be a contributor, and I think Matt Hasselbeck can look his way.
Well, Arthur, I think this is a first. We had the same three guys as top guy, mid-range guy, and sleeper. I was like, okay, check. We're on Bradshaw, on Yeldon, and on Peterson. Honestly, I'm locking into those three guys at this point. I'll throw out one more, Latavius Murray against Tennessee. Murray's an every down back, and Tennessee is not a fantastic defense. So I think you can find some success with Latavius Murray. But yeah, I'm with you on running back, and I'm not loving a lot of running back plays this week. So wide receiver, let's see if we have the same top three there. Who's your top guy, your mid range guy, and your sleeper at wide receiver?
I'll tell you what, Mr. Solly, I will give you the honors of going first, and this time maybe you can rip off a couple of my plays.
All right, that's fine by me. Again, kind of a little contrarian, but my top guy is Antonio Brown. I think that he's just too good, and really, I'm no longer a believer in that Seattle defense. So I have no problem at all going with Antonio Brown. Mid-range guy, Sammy Watkins, I really liked what I've seen out of him. Going to Kansas City, I know Kansas City's looked pretty good, but I think Sammy Watkins will be just fine. And as a sleeper, I'm not really loving a lot of the sleeper plays this week, but Jamison Crowder, I think, has gotten plenty of opportunity with Washington. I don't believe in the Giants' pass defense at all, so Crowder may be a sleeper for me this week. How about you?
I like it. I like it a lot, and I will just say quickly, I don't have a lot more faith than you do in the Seahawks defense at this point, particularly late in games, but very excited to see that Richard Sherman-Antonio Brown matchup. We've seen Sherman actually playing star corner a little bit this year. That should be really fun, appointment viewing, really. I'm not going contrarian. I'm saying DeAndre Hopkins. He is the hottest receiver in football right now. Julio Jones, maybe notwithstanding, and just the way he's making these circus catches and doing it regardless of the quarterback, the kid is for real. And it's kind of like the Alshon Jeffrey case. I thought he was going to be very good. I didn't think he was going to be great like this, and there's no question that he is special. Top play against New Orleans again. I like Vincent Jackson. It seems like people kind of forgot about him because he was out a while. Has the Colts, and I think it's going to be Mike Evans who gets the Vontae Davis star corner treatment, and that should leave whether it's Greg Toler, Darius Butler, whoever Vincent Jackson's going to line up across. I like his chances. I think he should produce. And for my sleeper, maybe I'm a week late on this, and I know I was a week late on the waiver wire, but Devin Funchess is coming on like gangbusters. He gets the Cowboys now. It's not an opportunity thing so much because that part's coming slowly, but he just looks like it's starting to click a little bit, and quietly that Panthers offense is quite explosive, and Funchess may be the most talented pass catcher he has aside from Greg Olsen, so I don't see any reason why his upward trajectory shouldn't continue.
Can I change all of my picks to yours at this point?
Well, no, you threw some good ones out there.
All right, tight end, top guy, mid-range guy, and a sleeper.
Yeah, you know, Gronk is too obvious, and actually maybe he's not because he's coming off what I think maybe was the second quiet game in a row, or either that or second time in 3 weeks. But, you know, you can't go wrong with Gronk. I'll also throw Mr. Gary Barnage out there coming back off the bye. People may have forgotten about him a little bit, but he has just been so consistent and gets a pretty good matchup with the Ravens, who don't really have anyone left on that team. Mid-range guy, and maybe it's just because I'm kind of kicking myself for not putting him in my flex spot last week, but Delanie Walker has been so solid for Marcus Mariota and the Titans, and with the receiving issues that they continue to have there, you know, he's clearly their top guy right now, Mariota's top guy, that is. And I'm guessing I stole your mid-range guy because, of course, that's the Raiders secondary who just let up a touchdown to a tight end while we were taping this podcast. So. And then my, you know, pretty deep sleeper, I'm going to say Brent Celek. You mentioned at the top that Zach Ertz is dealing with a concussion. They have a short week turnaround going to Detroit for Thanksgiving, and the Lions aren't particularly special covering tight ends. So maybe Brent Celek and Mark Sanchez can get a little something going. He was okay last week.
I actually had Walker as my top guy this week just because he's a talented tight end going up against Oakland. Oakland has actually been improved against tight ends, but they've gone up against not so great tight ends. And now you get Delanie Walker, who's a solid guy, and Mariota obviously trusts him. So Walker was my top guy. I liked Barnage as my mid-range guy against Baltimore. Their season is basically done. My sleeper, it may be a bit of a cheat because of the name, but because of the production, I don't think it's a cheat. Jimmy Graham going up against Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh has not been great against tight ends this year. And I know that Jimmy Graham has not gotten looks. He's probably very unhappy in Seattle, but if he's going to get it going, now's got to be the time, right?
Yeah, I mean, you edited my DFS column last week. I thought that was going to be the time, and it was even particularly strange because Russell Wilson finally went off for fantasy owners, and he did it without Jimmy Graham. So that was a little odd, but, you know, it continues to – I can't say confuse me because I kind of saw this coming, but it's just clear in a big, big high-stakes game that they need to get him going. So I think you're definitely on the right path there.
I hope so. If he doesn't get it going this week, I think you can almost safely cut him at this point if he's on your season-long roster, which is
too bad the Seahawks can't. What do they give him guaranteed after the trade?
Oh, God, too much. If it was $20, it was too much. All right, that'll do it for the podcast this week. Don't forget to get all of the best fantasy football news at chicagofootball.com from our fantasy experts and listen to our podcast each week as we get you prepared for your drafts and help you win throughout the season. Our podcast is available on iTunes, so if you have not done so already, please head over and subscribe and never miss an episode. We want to thank our sponsor, your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. Who says Black Friday should only be one day of great deals? Chevy's Black Friday sale is on right now. Check out all of the Chevy truck selections at ChevyDriveChicago.com today and drive what Dan Hampton drives. Big thanks to our guest on today's show, Arthur Arkish. Our producer today was Dan Mott. I'm John Solly. For all of us at ChicagoFootball.com, happy Thanksgiving, and we hope you have a great week of fantasy football.